This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologists,
where
we love pro wrestling, and sometimes that's okay. I'm Craig, but you know that. And I'm here with my tag team brother, tag team kayfabe brother, Steven.
Hey, everybody.
All of you, each and every one of the many listeners of ours. Today.
All two of you.
It's being generous. hi, Andrew.
I think my brother listens on occasion.
Today we're watching night two of Fyter Fest, AEW Fyter Fest, All Elite Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get right into it. Ready to watch some wrestling today?
I am.
All right. Well, Steven, tell us what happens in this first match.
Well, our first match is with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page.
Champs.
The champions. The tag team champions of AEW facing Private Party. And just like last week, Private Party was a nice surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a few botches in this match. I did notice that.
Even with the botches, though,
it wasn't quite as good as last week's match.
It was still an entertaining match, even with the botches.
Yeah.
Few highlights was when the Private Party he's being thrown into the ropes. His partner is on the outside of the ropes, and he goes on top of him, and then like rolls back, and then gets. I believe it was.
Like a DDT.
It was a swinging DDT on Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
So that
and
was...
Omega sold it like he always does.
Oh,
he,
yeah. Omega's really good.
He like sells it. DDTs better than anybody in the business. I like the way he sells a DDT.
Yeah. There was a near fall that Kenny Omega just barely breaks up just in time.
Yeah, I think that ref was really holding on to that three a little bit.
Yeah, he jumps through.
That's about the closest near fall ever.
What was the Private Party's finisher called?
Gin and Juice.
They were about to do the Gin and Juice, but Hangman Page catches one of the members of Private Party. I wish I remembered their names.
Yeah.
But he catches them, and then Kenny Omega intercepts, and... they finish it off with a top rope power bomb, and then get this one guy into like a crash at the end.
Yeah, like a V trigger and a clothesline, like sandwiched them into a V trigger and a clothesline. It looked pretty.
It looked
brutal.
Like a human train wreck.
Wow.
That poor guy. But it ends with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. Retaining the titles and winning.
Yep, strong opener night two. Not as good as the opener of night one.
No, there was too many botches to make it better.
It was still a fun match, though.
It was still
fast-paced.
Really fun match.
AEW continues to be the best tag team wrestling there is.
Yeah, it was some really nice tag team wrestling, and just a lot of fun spots, and even the botches... those were really unique spots, which is probably why they got botched.
Yeah, it was the botches were basically because of the innovation of the moves.
They just, weren't simple
they just
moves
didn't
that were botched.
Follow through,
they were just,
yeah.
They were very complicated moves that just happened to be botched. So,
all right,
let's
go
to
match two.
Match. Yeah.
All right, in the second match, we got Bad Boy Joey Janela coming out, and then Murder Hawk Lance Archer comes out with Jake the Snake and with Janela's tag team partner, Sonny Kiss, on his shoulders and just steps into the ring and launches Sonny right into Joey Janela. And
just helping him come down to the ring. You
just
know?
Tosses him right at him.
He's a swell guy.
And then pretty much proceeds to just murder Joey Janela.
Yeah, and quite a few times Sonny Kiss.
Yeah,
this is pretty much Murder Hawk murdering everyone.
Yeah, it was just... This was definitely not a showcase for Joey Janela.
Joey Janela got a couple moves in. There was one part where Jake the Snake was trying to bring the snake in the ring, and Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss both do high-flying moves on Murder Hawk, but yeah, pretty much Murder Hawk just slaughtering
Archer, his chops, he had some brutal chops on Janela. Janela was... His skin was bright red. Like, he had chops all over his chest, his back.
There was that cool move where Murder Hawk was picking him up for, like, a reverse. Like, what was that? He has him arms stretched out, and it's like a powerbomb. Kind of reminded me of a reverse. I'm trying to remember the wrestler's finish. Was it Scott Hall?
Yeah, Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge. Like a reverse one where it was head first instead of... Yeah. But, and then Joey reverses it with a like a clothesline coming down. But yeah, it was just... It was a slaughter.
Yep. It was what it needed to be, just Murder Hawk murdering...
And Murder Hawk wins.
And then...
And then he screams at the camera.
Yes.
And then, sorry.
Steven's getting ahead of himself there. And then we get a another black and white video of Darby Allin at home with his bros. He hasn't forgotten about Brian Cage injuring him. And he coffin drops off a crane into some foam. Moving on.
No, nobody cares.
Now, Brian Cage and Taz come out. Taz says that Cage won't go in to fight for the Fallen without a title and presents him with his life work, the old FTW championship title, and calls it some renegade shit. Says, Mox, your ass is done, brother. Who better than the Machine? So we can look forward to this match next week at Fight for the Fallen, Brian Cage versus Jon Moxley, which should be a hoot. And now we go on to what I think is the best match of both nights so far. It's the Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Brothers versus FTR and the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you, but I think it's the best match, period. Not just so far. I do not see another match.
You don't see it.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think anything tonight's going to top it. We'll see. We'll see what Orange and Jericho do.
Yes, I'm really anticipating and looking forward to that as well. However, this match was
incredible, fantastic.
How?
You have quite a task on your hands, Steven, to try to even explain what all happened in this match.
I don't know if I can.
possibly the three best tag teams in the world in Butcher and the Blade. They didn't. And Blade really didn't contribute much, but the Bucks, Lucha Brothers, and FTR were absolutely incredible in this match. This is one of my favorite matches I've seen this year. Period.
It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of cool spots that I don't even know how to begin to describe. There was a flip power bomb on a bunch of people on the outside that was just ridiculous. The first cool one was the Young Bucks doing like a knee to the they had the guy and there was a tag team knee drop thing. I don't even know. I don't know what to say. Like, there were so many innovative things that I don't know how to describe them.
One of the most fast-paced matches I've seen in a long time.
It was quick. It was fast-paced. Another crazy cool thing about it is it wasn't just like the Lucha Brothers working together. It wasn't just...
Yeah, they were doing some cool team-ups between the Bucks and FTR.
Except for the Butcher and the Braid.
Yeah, Butcher and Blade.
I think they were in there for the power bomb
to be two extra bodies.
Yeah, well, they were on the outside during that flip power bomb, so they got to enjoy that.
Got to catch that.
Yeah, they got to catch that. That's about it. That was about their involvement in the match. The Lucha Brothers were just fantastic to watch, and then the Young Bucks and the FTR just. They would have one each working together and just doing coolest tag team moves you've ever seen. And it's not even with the tag teams together. It was just a fantastic match. I guess the best way I can describe this match is, why haven't you watched this match? Go watch it. I can't explain it. It's amazing. But it does end with the Lucha Brothers doing this tag team spike DDT and getting the win.
Then they're celebrating on the ramp, and the Butcher and the Blade standing there as the Lucha Brothers, like Ray Phoenix, was picking up the Young Bucks that were laying everywhere,
making it rain,
and in the ring. FTR and the Young Bucks, they do the respect handshake. I was kind of half expecting a heel turn.
You're expecting
I guess
FTR
they're building.
Turn on them.
FTR, I don't think they're going to remain baby faces. I'm sure they're going to be. They're just natural heels.
Yeah, I'm sorry that they disappointed you there. we'll have to email the Young or the FTR and be like, why didn't you turn on them? Why not? You disappointed Craig.
Now we go into a Popeyes commercial that Steven didn't skip for some reason. They got me real hungry for a chicken sandwich. And then we go to Big Swole shows up, and she finds out she's suspended. She got served by AEW officials as she arrived for the pay-per-view. I guess, do you call it a pay-per-view?
Sure.
For the show. And she wasn't allowed to enter the arena. She was told she was suspended for kidnapping Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, 2 weeks ago. And she's pissed that she traveled 3 hours to be turned away. So then we go on to our next match. Nyla Rose, she murders some jobbers. There's not really anything to say. I don't even remember the jobbers' names.
I don't either.
They were jobbers. It was a handicap match.
She ends it with a power bomb onto the other jobber and pins them both.
Jobber bomb. And then...
Jobber bomb.
And then the whole... Basically, it was just a showcase. Show. She big. She strong. And she has an announcement. She's hired a manager. But she's not ready to tell us who that manager is. She points out that everybody with a manager gets what they want. But she can promise one thing. When she debuts her manager, it will bring her back to the women's championship. So then we go to a backstage segment. Colt Cabana's being checked on by a doctor. His whole body bruised up. And the doctor said he is not ready to compete. Mr. Brody Lee comes in, and he disagrees with the doctor. He informs the doctor that Colt is indeed ready to compete, and then we go to a six-man tag match. It's the Dark Order represented by Brody Lee, Stu Grayson, and the still sort of reluctant but still trying to fit in Colt Cabana versus SCU, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, and Scorpio Sky, with the many members of Dark Order, including Uno and
they were
the ones I don't recognize, just standing there ominously watching.
Yeah. What did you think of this?
It was, it's step down.
Especially after this,
after that match, it's been, I mean, it's definitely been like, it's been a lot slower. That match was incredible, but so far that's been the only match on this show that's really stood out to me compared to night one.
Yeah. This is a step up from Jobberfest that we had with with the jobbers. I mean, come on. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't great either, in fairness.
Had a couple cool spots.
But... there was a cool spot with Stu Grayson. He did like this little...
Yeah, like
kind
a,
of another
like
Matrix.
Matrix, but much faster.
But he bounces back up, and he was avoiding the clothesline from Sky. Frankie, he dived into the Dark Order on the outside. That was kind of fun. Cool.
I enjoyed throughout this match, Uno wearing his suit out there. He just had his hands folded the whole time, but then every time a move was done on a member of Dark Order, he's just like, oh, he just kind of shook his head.
Just disappointed.
He looked all like professional, just kind of,
No. Yeah. There was another kind of cool spot where Mr. Brody Lee slams Sky to the ground, and then Stu jumps all the way to heaven and lands on Sky. That was really high.
Yeah, that was...
It was pretty impressive. There was another cool spot with Frankie doing a rebound DDT on Mr. Brody Lee. And it ends with Brody Lee doing a lariat when he was not the legal man. And then offering the pin to Colt Cabana, who graciously accepts and wins the match.
But kind of reluctantly at the same time, too. He was, like, apologizing to Christopher Daniels on the outside.
Sorry, I'm being a dick.
Then afterward, Colt is just, like, celebrating. He's excited that he's getting a win. But the rest of Dark Order, they're just business as usual. They're just kind of, making their way to the outside as Colt celebrates by himself.
So there was a couple cool spots, but other than that...
You could tell it was a slower match than what we're used to because Steven actually was able to break down the moves of the match. where with the crazy train wreck, amazing tag match we watched earlier, it was almost impossible to...
Well, I took notes on this one, and I couldn't take notes on that one. It was so exciting to watch.
Just take our word for it. It was a great match.
It was fantastic, and you should watch it now.
Just a train wreck in a good way of a match.
In the best way.
Dudes flying all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay, now we go to... Britt Baker is seen lounging and sipping on some sort of drink with an umbrella in it. And Big Swole shows up in a mask to confront Britt Baker, and I think she shouts something about how she's sipping on hibiscus, and then she punches Baker in the nose, and Baker says she broke her nose. I think she yells that she needs a doctor, and JR said, like, JR like says
she's a dentist.
So then Steven stops fast-forwarding before Popeye's commercial again, so I think he's just messing with me now. Really want a Popeye's sandwich. We don't have any Popeye's near here anymore. And then we're back to the show. Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy comes out, still wearing the bloody shirt. And he tells the best friends to stay in the back and hands them the bloody shirt and the sunglasses, gives them the little... limp wrist bump, and he gets in the ring with his half thumb up.
Yeah.
And then he had pyro and the whole deal. It was a pretty cool entrance. And then Jericho comes out with Santana and Ortiz and his baseball bat.
Yeah. And right off the bat, Orange is, like, fired up and...
Well, no, first thing he does, he puts his hands in his pockets like he always does. And Jericho because he's been saying for weeks that he's not going to play around with his stupid little games, goes to punch him right away, and as soon as he puts his hand in his pocket, he just headbutts Jericho in the face.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
And then he does his signature hands in the pocket flip over.
Yeah, just flipping all over the place.
And then he just starts dodging, throwing Jericho all over the outside of the ring into the barricades. And
yeah.
He was just fired up.
He was fired up. This was a focused Orange Cassidy. More focused than, we've seen him build to being focused in matches before, but this is the first time we've seen him just right off the bat, just fired up and.
Yeah.
Laying into Jericho.
Santino, after his little throwing Jericho all around, Santino hits Orange with a sock with a battery in it.
I think it's a sock with a battery in it.
Yeah.
He's always got that. I think that's what it is.
Orange also kept getting thrown into those barricades a lot, too. Except for they were from the ring to the barricade.
I believe Excalibur at one point said he was a bruised orange.
He was a bruised orange. One of my favorite spots of the entire match was Orange doing his lazy kicks. But this time,
yes. He was doing his typical kick to the shin, you know, where with the build up where the crowd goes, Oh, and then where he would typically do the third lazy kick, he actually does a full-on super kick to the face of Jericho, which would have, if there's a crowd there, they would have erupted.
Oh my gosh.
Our little makeshift crowd erupted, but.
All two of us screamed. Then Santino gets in there again and throws orange juice into Orange's face.
Yeah.
And then while the ref is yelling at Santana. My apologies. Jericho comes in and hits Orange in the gut with his bat and gives him the code breaker, and Orange kicks out.
Yes. He absorbs the orange juice.
Yes. The orange juice gives them the power.
And also have to add that this pinfall attempt, poor Aubrey had to lay in orange juice to make the count.
Maybe it gave her a little bit of power, too. there was Jericho. He tries to give a suplex to Orange, and Orange just twists around and reverses it into the Stun Dog Millionaire. That was a really fun spot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm trying not to, I'm doing a terrible job at not being biased here, but Jericho gets the win.
With the Judas effect. The Judas effect. Pins him 1-2-3.
But this was a fun match.
It was. It was a lot of fun.
It's a really fun match.
Overall, night one was better, but night two had the best match of the whole shebang. Yeah.
I think we're both going to agree, best match of the night, 8-man tag match.
Yes.
It was just a blast and so much.
And the second best would have been Orange and Jericho. That was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed fired up Orange Cassidy.
Worst match was that Jobber Fest. I think that's.
I don't even count it as a match.
Well, then. Maybe.
Dark Order and SCU wasn't all that impressive either.
Yeah, that wasn't that great either. But, yeah. So, but it was a fun show again.
Oh, well, we haven't got to the main event yet.
All right.
So we're getting into our main event for the night. We're going to stream this one, the All Elite Wrestling Puppy Battle Royale. Oh man, we got two. All right, to adopt, volunteer, donate, visit angelsrescue.org. Don't forget to spay and neuter your dogs.
thousands of dogs and cats available for adoption at your local shelter or rescue. And now with the rules, to the event, here's referee Aubrey Edwards.
All right.
Oh, they get the best referee in here, too.
A puppy is eliminated when all four paws touch the floor. And if one of them eliminates from their bowels, then they are also eliminated from the match.
We got a puppy ref, too. Oh, here we go.
Coming down to the ring. Okay, it's a puppy version of Hikaru Shida. So apparently the pup... And then they show Shida cheering on her, the puppy representing her. All right. Her opponent, Nyla Rose Puppy. Boo!
Boo!
We boo the heel puppies. Boo!
Oh, I think Nyla Rose is going to destroy Shida. Puppy.
Okay, the match is starting.
And, oh my gosh.
This is the Women's Puppy Battle Royal. The Shida puppy is chewing on the referee toy. The crowd's going wild. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Who's next? Okay, we have the Penelope Ford puppy coming out.
Yeah.
Next to some sunglasses.
Oh, well, Penelope Ford doesn't want to come down to the ring. She just sat. Oh, now they're in.
Okay. The Penelope puppy is in the ring. They are all attacking a toy together. This is... We have a self-elimination. Oh. Okay, Shida
is gone.
The Shida puppy has been eliminated. She jumped out.
Fans are going nuts.
Oh, who we got? We got the Brandi Rhodes puppy.
Woo woo.
This is stupid. What are we doing?
This is amazing, is what you meant to say.
All right, the other puppies are shaking. Their paws are shaking. They're terrified that puppy brand... They're cutting in with fans.
That poor ref, they're attacking the ref.
Or videos of fans just losing their minds. This is like...
She's on the ropes. She's tangled up.
We have a puppy tangled in the ropes.
This is a slobber knocker.
They're chewing the referee.
Nyla's gone.
Okay.
And Brandy.
Good Lord, how long is this table?
I don't know.
Can you see how long it's... This sounded better in theory. Okay.
9 minutes.
All right.
Oh, they're all born on Mother's Day.
All these puppies were born on Mother's Day. All right, I don't know if I can handle this, Stephen. Let's go find out who the winner is. This sounded better in theory.
Not sure what you expected here. Skipping to the end.
I think you got to the men's battle royal, and the John Moxley puppy is the winner. We skipped the women's battle royal.
Well, that was the women's. The women's was the first match. This was the second.
I didn't see who won the first one.
Oh, it was Nyla Rose went out. Shida went out. I think it was...
It was the Penelope Ford puppy one.
It was Penelope Ford.
Hard-hitting action here on PWA. And... Tony Schiavone is encouraging us to have our pet spayed and neutered. All right.
That was the best match of the night. Right. Better than the eight-man. Yeah,
that did beat match. It. And we'll pass the message along to adopt. Go to angelsrescue.org. All right. Well, that sure was a hell of a show there.
Fantastic.
I'm so glad that we... that we sat through that puppy battle royale. So let's talk Fight for the Fallen next week. Originally, we weren't going to bother covering it, but damn, the card looks too good, so I think we got to. So we are going to sometime next week come back and cover Fight for the Fallen.
Yep.
Without any puppy battle royales. The matches on the card so far, Cody Rhodes will have a TNT title open challenge. So I think we'll have some sort of fun surprise there. I don't know if any of the released WWE stars are... I don't think their no-compete is up, so I don't think it'll be any of those guys. Hmm. But I think in the future we'll see, because... I know AEW is not against taking guys in for like a one-off here and there. So I think in the future we will see some of those guys, you know, I'm sure. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you who will compete against it. I think it'll be some sort of surprise. Either if it's not a new signee, it'll be somebody there for a one-off. But either way, I'm sure it'll be a blast.
I'm pretty sure Cody will win.
Cody's going to retain whoever it is. FTR versus the Lucha Brothers. It's going to be incredible.
After watching that eight man, that sounds amazing. I think seeing that was what made us right away. We were like, okay, we're going to have to cover this. Yeah.
The Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks will take on Jurassic Express. Another one that is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And, of course, the main event that we've all been waiting for, Jon Moxley, Brian Cage, AEW World title. They didn't say if the FTW title will be on the line. predictions for those last two. FTR beats Lucha Brothers, I think, and I think the Elite beats Jurassic Express.
I'm going to go with the Lucha Brothers. Really enjoyed watching them.
Yeah, and but FTR just debuted it. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't win tonight. I think the fact that they lost tonight, they're going to turn around and give them the win next week.
And I'll go with Jurassic Express for the...
Oh, come on. They're not going to beat the Elite. Come on. Give me a break. And then, Jon Moxley, I think, retains against Brian Cage.
I agree, Jon Moxley.
And I think Brian Cage will go on to hold that FTW title as a prop. I think that's going to be a part of his character. Yeah,
it's going to be like the $1 million belt.
And I'm sure there's going to be other matches, too, that just haven't been announced yet. But that's the only matches so far.
We're just predicting the ones announced that we have an option to predict.
Yeah. That's going to be a fun show, so we'll have to come back. So, it's going to be a busy week next week. We're planning on... Kane Part 2 is going to be pushed back. We're not going to be doing that this week or next week. So, all you Canaanites out there, you got to hang on. Hang on for Kane Part 2, but we will get there. This week is going to be all covering wrestling. We're going to cover Fight for the Fallen, and we're going to cover... The horror show at Extreme Rules next week, where, stay tuned, somebody's going to lose an eyeball.
I'm looking forward to the horror show, actually.
It's going to be some silly fun. So we're going to have one show of great wrestling and one show of just zany
ridiculous
batshittery. Yep. It's going to be fun. So, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Plug your pluggables.
Oh, yes. We got to plug the pluggables. Steven, you plug your pluggables.
All right. You can follow me at Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook and Instagram, at Dragon Blazer Pro on Twitter. And, yeah.
And you can follow this show at PW Apologists. And wear a mask. Wear a mask. Social distance. And spay and neuter your pets.
That's right, people. This is serious.
And we love pro wrestling. And sometimes that's okay.
That's right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.